I've been cradling my mind.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You're listening to Davin's, and thank you guys for hanging out with us on the phone. One of the writers, creators, actors of You's Ultimate Social Experience, Amaru, and executive producer, Ty. How are you, fellas?
Doing good. Hey, we're all right.
All right. Before we get into the conversation.
Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
I know we're not supposed to talk about the regret program, but as the nice lady in the bumper said, this is Wrecking Ball Radio. I mean, we all know what this program is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just have a problem that it would seem like our doctors might be complicit in doing the government's dirty work by molding us into the image they want society to be.
Yeah, and they've been, you know, and it seems that it goes against the Hippocratic Oath that they have taken to do something like that, to alter some person's being.
It's very startling when you can't confide in your doctor or trust your doctor, possibly, to have your best interest in when maybe the doctor has somebody else's interest. Maybe they're doing somebody else's bidding.
Right, and you don't actually know if these doctors might be influenced by money or power or prestige to do something against the interest of.
So there we go. That was our little portion of the movie. So I've watched the movie. I enjoyed the movie. And here was my takeaway. You guys guide me if I'm wrong. So I feel like a lot of science fiction movies that are set in the future, I feel like a lot of it was based on like current fears. Like I feel like you touched on a lot of things in the movie, like racism, gun control, a scientific community that feels like it's under attack by the Trump administration, as he was called to the Orange administration in the very vague, very subtle. Didn't know who you were talking about. You guys touched on an overreach by the left. Government's taking and corrupting technology that was designed to do good, but now it's used for bad. A libertarian's fear of a government that has overstepped, and how it's a mandate, and now it's directly interfering with how people live their lives. Like I feel like you guys were trying to hit on all those points.
And not trying to solve it, because everything can be solved in an hour and a half, you know, or an hour and 15 or whatever. It's an ongoing series, so in my mind, there are things we can, touch on in future episodes or future films.
So there will be more?
Oh, yeah, it's a franchise. That was just the first one.
All right,
sort of an explainer, so to speak.
So give us a brief overview of what this particular movie is. You's Ultimate Social Experiment. Give us a little synopsis for the fans out there. What this is about.
So basically, it spawned from a web series we won some awards on, and basically it's this is how I came up with it. So it's funny because my child is in the room. this is how I came up with it. I had just dropped my kids off to their mama house. And I was upset, and I was driving. I was like, man, I wish I could, if there was some way I could just change her, if I could just, like, control her DNA, her gene. I was like, And by the time I got home, I came up with Use, the web series. And it's basically, we came up with an algorithm. Basically, everybody was inoculated with nanos, right? And they were dormant on purpose. Until we had developed in the government a way to control them and activate them and use forced karma based on your life. If you've been a dick or if you were a racist, we would turn you into a white, if you black and somebody's being racist towards you, we would turn that person into you. And it would last a few days and then you would turn back. And it was a 50% shot if that experience changed your life. And so that's where it's a 50-50 chance if it worked, but we had no choice, to do but this. But, with anything that has potential, the government came in and wanted to weaponize it and use it for other purposes. And so the movie spans off 10 years later because I tried some stuff on my daughter and I thought it killed her, blah, 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 da, da, da. Now you have the movie.
So when you guys sit down and write a script, does what's going on in society usually make its way into your stories?
Well, absolutely. I think if you have that that audience, whatever it may be, and you can, just like stand-up, if I don't provoke some thought by the time you leave the theater within that hour, then I wasted your time. So that's why I appreciate when you are talking shit on stage and doing your thing. If that person is upset about something, it was a reason for that. And so they need to go and explore that reason. And that's what doing, you know, provocative stand-up in, or entertainment, period.
So you're definitely trying to push some buttons with this.
Say it again?
I say, so you guys are definitely trying to push some buttons with this.
Yeah, well, I am. I don't know about Tyrone, you know. I pitched him the idea. He was like, yeah, cool.
Wow, a lot of input there. Yes, sounds good. Is there going to be craft services? I'm in.
Right. I remember when the idea came around, I was just like, yeah, about nanos and changing people. I was like, all right, man, if you can change. And, you know, I'm really big into politics and macro econ. So I'm like, we can kind of touch on sci-fi and a little bit of political. And I was very, very sure that we probably have a whole lot of fun just kind of doing the whole thing. And yeah. I ain't know just about filming or movies. So it's been a super, super learning experience for me, man. The whole thing's been really, really interesting. So, you know, it was automatic thumbs up.
So now, as a fan of certain science fiction, I've noticed very often the things that are projected into the future eventually wind up becoming true. They eventually, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, it comes to life. Are there things within use that you could see coming true?
Well, Tyrone, you can take that.
Well, nanos, in terms of infiltrating the body and having effects, that is definitely something that's already, there's efforts behind it going already, right? This is the desire the past, you know, 60, 70 years, as soon as you kind of got to, like, nano-size or micro-size technology, people have been thinking, like, how can we do these things and, you know, get them to affect the body? And it won't necessarily be robots as much as it will be just, like, man-made virons or something of that like. It's going to be much more biological. I don't think you're going to be able to get machines down to that size and have them do things. It's not like, if you ever watch Justice League,
I don't know. Didn't they just have a machine that successfully shrank something in the last couple of weeks?
No, that's cold water and it's a penis.
They actually had a successful, I don't know if it was at MIT or somebody successfully shrank something.
They are implanting chips in us. I mean, they do implant chips in people.
Yeah, so there's already people planting chips, right? Right. In terms of, like, our movie idea where the nanos are, like, cellular-like level, right? Maybe that'll be, like, way, way into the future. But the nanos that they're kind of being worked on today are much more biological. So it's really not far-fetched idea, really, to have someone be injected with something. I mean, because people get injected with stuff all the time. And then have it affect you for some short period of time and that effect be dramatic. Like, right now in the movie, it's much more physiological, right? White dude turns to a black dude or something to that effect.
Right.
Now, if that happens in real life,
that was an actual malfunction due to the electronic shock within the ambulance between my character and Johnson. So, but it was all manipulated by the nanos trying to control the whole situation and putting those things together. So that's how that happened. In the process, that's how normally you get a phone call and then start doing the phone call and noise, and all those noises which would activate the nano inside you, and that's how, you know. So it was just a malfunction within that process with the shock.
Imagine
you'd
be like
EKG.
Somebody get a phone call and you hear it, is that a fax machine? Nah, is that a dial-up modem? Oh, damn, I'm black.
That sounds terrible. That sounds awful.
Like, what?
No. No. I like having good credit. Huddle a huddle a ho.
So the idea of itself, it is an actual comic book. So the comic book that's in the movie, that's a real thing. So the idea we're going to reboot the web series and then put out the episodes on that comic book, on that digital comic book, so that you can choose your own destiny. We did that shit first before Netflix, and we started that shit at the same time. It's irony. I haven't watched it yet because it kind of made me mad that, you know, they got to choose your own. You could actually do it on there. And that's what we did. We did that. That's what we were talking about.
I did notice the comic book feel to the movie at points. That was all right. So that's cool. That was well done. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so we're going to, the plan is, and the plan with each project is to get better. Instead of going to film school, you know, I've been in the film industry. I started there. I used to work for people, whatever. And instead of taking the money that you come up on and going to school for it, I figured, why not just learn it hands-on? That's when we started with that documentary we did 5 or 6 years ago.
I remember you were on for that.
This project.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so the goal is each time get better and better and bigger and better and try. We want to turn this thing into something that could be in Comic-Con.
Oh, nice.
And create these characters and endear them to people, and people want to, express their appreciation for the show in a future Comic-Con.
Well, now that you've let the cat out of the bag that this is going to be a series, I think what everybody wants to know is, next time, do we get our faces on screen, or are we just...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You heard that from me.
You'll be getting a phone call.
Yeah, and then I turn black. I'm like, that's not what I was expecting.
My favorite line from the whole thing is when he's like, because they're very cynical people.
Yes, yes, we are.
How many times I heard you say that from editing? they're very cynical people. Oh my God, it's stuck in my head. But it was a journey getting it done, because I made a couple mistakes and had to start over. And
well, it looks good.
It was kind of a blessing in disguise because I was experimenting with some looks. I wanted it to stand out.
So when's the next one?
Try some stuff, and we had a limited budget, so
When's the next one getting made? When do you start production on that? Or you haven't decided?
Well, we're in pre-production right now.
Oh, damn!
The next movie, but it's not the sequel yet. I'm taking a break from the experience of the editing process and all that. It was a huge task because I did post-production primarily by myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a lot of work went into it. You can definitely tell.
That editing, coloring, everything.
So
he had to do everything, man. And I was like, man,
scoring.
I'm not even a religious man. I was like, please, Zeus, Jesus, don't let this man die. Cause I'm going to go be the same day. Like, oh, my Lord.
Well, that's the one thing I say about Amaru. He's a hard worker.
College for the last year and a half, I've literally watched about 350 YouTube videos, watching 8-year-olds telling me how to do some special effects.
Wow.
That's just what it is. We've got to get we're doing it on a low budget basis and putting in the work.
All the praise goes to this guy. All the praise goes to this guy, man. So otherwise, it would just be a behind the scenes, and I would just release the raw footage.
I think this is a documentary.
Yeah.
have you guys gotten any reviews, any feedback on it yet from the industry?
Say it again.
Have you guys got any reviews or feedback from the industry?
Oh, yeah, we got our first one coming up sometime this week from Nerd Power.
Okay.
It's a site on Facebook. They sci-fi things come out or whatever. They comment and make their opinions on it be known, and they loved it. They said it was fun, and one of their favorite characters was Felicia, and they quoted her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got another screener out. We've entered in 11 film festivals so far.
Nice.
And, we hope that we can make some noise with it and go on, move to the next level. So the ultimate plan, what we're doing, is taking all of our products to the film market at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
so that we can sell to foreign markets, Asia, Africa, this, that, and the third, and video on demand, Lionsgate, and whoever, and maybe walk away with other deals in regards to other projects. So there's a ultimate plan to all this, because I'm trying to keep us employed, Davin, so when we retire in stand-up comedy, we can have something to fall back on and write some shit and get paid some residuals from some content we wrote, some movies, or, you know, acting within the movie or whatever, because we may not be able to depend on stand-up forever.
This is very true. Mm. So where can people get the movie? Where can they stream it? Where can they order the DVD? What are their options?
All right. So we're having a premiere next month. We just had that confirmed today in Chicago at the AMC Theater.
Congrats.
And that's on the 23rd. Information will be on the website, amaruflix.com. You can get the DVD on amaruflix.com. The process for Amazon downloads is being handled right now.
So eventually we'll be able to see that on Amazon Prime?
No, not on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
You don't have to pay for this. it will be on Amazon for download or for rent.
Okay.
Or rental. We were just waiting for the go ahead on that. But primarily you can get it from my website right now, which is amaruflix.com.
How's that spelled?
Amaruflix, AmaruFlix.
Very good.
Ah.
Very good. Amaruflix.com. Or you guys can, who's ever listening, you can just come over to my house and just watch it with me.
Can you please not bootleg it until next Thursday?
No, I didn't say bootleg. I didn't say bootleg. I said they got to hang out with me. It's the only way I get people to be with me.
That's the white people version of bootleg. Hey, they just invite the whole neighborhood over.
Wait.
Well, shit, Rue. If I had a cookout, then you'd be fine with it.
We don't want nobody over our house, so we go ahead and make copies. Here y'all go and spread it to the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, they do that shit.
We had a dude with a hot dog joint down the street. He had a bootleg copy of already. He was just like, hey, you got a million.
Funny.
In his quote-unquote inventory.
I already saw a guy with the VHS version. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Well, we're very excited about this. Thank you for
yes, good luck.
Allowing us to be part of the project.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, man. Thank you very much, man. When I asked you, Devin, you immediately said right away.
You know that, brother. Anything for you, man. I support you.
And, you know, we've been friends for a long-ass time. You know I got you.
Yeah, man.
And this shit going to pay off for us. So.
I hope so, man. You're a hard worker and a good dude.
And thank you, guys. Thank you, Pip, and thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having us in the project. And good luck with everything.
All right, gents. We look forward to the next installment. And, Rue, I'll talk to you soon. And, Ty, pleasure chatting with you for the first time. Lots of luck, guys. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
guys.
Bye-bye.
You know, I'm looking forward to somebody cosplaying me. You know, all they have to do is, like, you know, put a red mop on their head and hold a lot of cats.
I thought you were cosplaying you.
I kind of am.
Yeah, like, I didn't think anybody would really look like this in real life. Yeah. I just thought, like, you were an exaggeration.
Isn't that unfortunate?
Oh, I had that thing wrong the whole time. My apologies.
Yeah. Funny.
Well, I hope you, like I said, I got to preview the movie this past weekend while I was away. I enjoyed it. I encourage everybody who's listening to the show to go to amaruflix.com and order it. You will enjoy it, and you'll be supporting good people.
Yes.
So,
Amaru's really funny.
He's a comic.
I'm just giving my stamp of approval, as if he needed it.
We all wait.
Joe's girl says, sleep over at Davin's. I should bring my friends. Meaning me.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as long as Joe's girl isn't wearing the same robe or jammies for 3 days, she's invited to come over. See
I
that,
will,
Joe?
Though.
She'd rather pay a bridge and hang out with me and see the movie than to hang out with you, and you have a copy, too.
Right.
Nobody wants to hang out with you, even the people who love you.
Yeah, I understand.
Despicable.
I understand.
There was a promise of popcorn.
Despicable. Not despicable.
I'm glad you admit it.
You're despicable. Despicable.
You've never been called that before?
No.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, I've been called worse.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Especially by Joanne.
She knows you best. She's had the most exposure.
Yeah.
But, you could definitely have Joe's girl over and have her watch. You guys can have a little sci-fi movie night. Good time.
Yeah.
I just love when they said, you know, they're on the phone, beep, boop. Ah, damn, I'm black. Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No. But I mean, if the turnabout is fair play,
you know what I want to be black? Like, if a hot girl's coming over, then I'll be black.
Well,
but if, I want to be able to turn back, because I don't want to walk in the streets and have to deal with all the shit that black people have to deal with. Mm. But if I get the penis extension for, you know, a couple hours.
Oh, so you'll take the goods, but you're not going to deal with the shit they have to deal with.
Right, which is why I said I don't want that phone call. But if I can pick and choose like it's a la carte, I'm listening. Yeah. But if I have to have the whole black experience in this country, I probably don't want that.
No, but you know what? Turnabout is fair play. I think that there's a lot. Most black people would be like, if they hear beep boop, oh shit, I'm white. They would not be pleased.
Well, it's funny, in the movie, one of the first things Amaru does when he's finding out that he's white is he checks his package.
Yeah. Well, as one would.
Yeah, so.
Just on general, you know.
Well, that was one of his character's major concerns in the beginning, when he's finding out that he's white.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, God, no. Yeah. No.
Yeah, that came up several times. I think he has an image in his head of white penises. I don't know where he got that image, but I feel like somewhere in the writing there was...
He listened to our little bit about their little bits.
Well, about the flagpole.
The flagpole, yeah.
Could have been worse. Could have been Asian, as we've learned.
Yes.
But anyway.
True.
So, yeah, check out the movie. I'm glad that Amaru and Ty were able to come on with us. Let's do some drunks in the news.
Yay.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, as we like to do, we will start with our Benjamin Franklin drinking term.
Yes.
This time, Benjamin Franklin came up with the synonym for drunk. He's Prince Eugene. I'll tell you what. Franklin must have been drunk a lot to come up with all this stuff. I mean,
he and his friends sat around and just, like, you know, like, tried to come up with as many as they could.
Like, I don't even know of a Prince Eugene. Like, oh, yeah, that was the one that was always shit-faced. I can't even point to that.
Well, because, yeah, it was, like, 250 years ago. You know, you don't know who Prince Eugene is.
Well, I think we would have heard about him. And there was the Prince Eugene. He was never always up to no good, always shit-faced. You know, they go, oh, all right, Franklin's fucking with the guy.
Of course.
Yeah, but no, he's just making up characters because he's drunk.
Absolutely.
He was like fucking Disney before Disney. He's just making up random princes and shit.
It sounded really good at the time. You know what? You know who he reminds me of? He's Prince Eugene.
Can you imagine the son of a bitch that has to fucking research all the nonsense Franklin came up with?
Well, but Franklin was a pretty, you know, was a pisser. I mean, he would hang out, he would fly a kite, he'd make laws, hop on a ship to France, screw some broads there, come back, you know?
Spread a syphilis around.
Why can't you be that productive? You have modern technology.
Could you do all that minus the syphilis?
No, it's all part of the package.
No, I'm staying away from that package.
So, all right, so here's the story. The lockout, Dan Kennery says, is a huge inconvenience for beer companies stuck waiting to get license and label approvals from the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, which remains closed. This is a big deal. He's the CEO of Mass Bay Brewing Company, which brews Harpoon, which I've heard of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And UFO. I don't know if I've heard of UFO.
Never heard of that.
Two major local beers. There's going to be a huge backlog coming when it opens. Because the bureau is closed during the shutdown, new releases of craft beer can't get labels approved, and new products aren't making it to store shelves, Kennery said. That creates a problem that's becoming more and more serious. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think it'll be okay, but I understand his concern.
No. Mm. Now I'm mad. Now I'm really fucking mad. We can't get new beer because they can't get this solved. That's criminal.
Somebody should
be charged.
No.
I want new beer. I want it now.
I was just going to thank you for in your outrage not hitting the table, because you know what that would have done to the equipment. And
I know. did you see me hold my hand above it and not go?
I was appreciating your fine restraint.
Thank you.
Yes, I was saying a compliment.
Yes, thank you. I restrained myself as far as the violent table motions,
yes,
but not about beer.
You're quite the professional.
God damn it.
Yes. Yes, you must only are. Okay. It started as a nuisance, he said, but we have a lot of new beers and all those labels have to be approved. It's really, really a huge inconvenience. Noting that the impact the shutdown is having on his company and the long-term effects it could have on the industry, Kennery decided to push politicians to come to common ground and end the shutdown by sending beer to Washington, D.C., lawmakers representing Massachusetts and Vermont, as well as President Trump. It seems so unnecessary, Kennery said of the shutdown. So we said, how can we get lawmakers to come to an agreement? So the idea is for them to walk across the hall and have a beer with someone on the other side of the aisle. Of course, the president doesn't drink, never has.
Right.
Rob Burns, the president of Night Shift Brewing, that's a cool name, by the way.
yeah,
located in Everett, said others are being affected by backlogs of unapproved licenses as well. It's not just us that gets hurt. It's also the retailers and bar owners, Burns told NBC News. I think the damage of this situation is going to be really hard to calculate and far-reaching. The biggest threat for breweries dealing with the shutdown, though, is the uncertainty. We don't know how long it's going to be. We're talking April, May, possibly. It's becoming a significant issue, and now it's going to grow each week. So, you know, I think maybe things will change if it's not only business that's hurt, but beer lovers. You get a fucking bunch of angry drunks on the fucking gates of the White House and the House of Representatives. Maybe some shit will change.
Did you not see it right across the table
from you? I did, and you're restrained. Can you imagine fucking Joe if he can't get his beer? He'll have enough of this Trump shit too.
I'm not a craft beer drinker, so
I said you're. But whatever. Look at Joe. Their show always. It's not about me.
I'm
fine.
So
I'm good. I drink Budweiser. I'm fine.
It's not my brand. So fuck you guys.
It's always his fucking default. You lack of empathy, motherfucker.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
God.
Oh my God. No.
If Joe was a founding father, wouldn't be the United States of America. Be one state of Joe. That's what the country. I don't want guns, so we don't need these. I like
no,
to
we
talk
need
about
guns.
No, but I'm saying if you don't have a gun, so you're like, I don't need a gun. I do like to talk. There will be freedom of speech. Press, I could go either way on that.
Almost sound like you're going to say freedom of spatula. I like to cook too. Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He likes the microwave.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yes. Freedom of microwaving. You know, no, all kidding aside, I'm carrying on like a lunatic, but the thing
no
is
shit.
That,
yeah.
That's why you're here.
Thank you. The thing is that this has tentacles that reaches so far that we don't even know all of the different permutations of this shutdown.
It's not
what is going to happen.
It's not just the 800,000, which is bad enough.
That's bad enough. But I mean, you know, I really despise the let them eat cake
Let's
attitude
put it this
that's
way.
Going
Let's
on.
Let's put it this way. I heard it's $1 billion a week that the economy loses in the shutdown.
Mm.
So they were going on 5 weeks. This shit would have been paid for already. If they just hadn't shut the shit down, they would have had the money.
Scoop that money up because it's just piling up in a wheelbarrow someplace, right?
The whole thing is so fucking stupid and insensitive.
Mm.
You know, it's just. And the thing is, the Democrats and the Republicans, they both pretty much want the same thing. They both want border security.
Yeah.
And it used to be the Republicans want the most effective and cheapest way, and by all accounts, it's using new technology. It's not the wall, and you probably could have got the president's come off the wall, the sea to shining sea
he
wall.
Did,
by the way.
Yeah, well, basically, he did break it down into that. In certain sections, there's a wall.
That's new, though. That's new.
But that's him willing to compromise, and the Democrats said no, no.
Well, no, because what he offered them was temporary DACA. If temporary relief for DACA, 3 years. If President Trump comes to the table with no. DACA path to citizenship for these people. Then the Democrats, yeah. And there's another one, TPS also, which is
yeah.
another group of immigrants.
And I that one was new to me.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is. But if he comes with
that,
we're going to work a DL pathway to citizenship for that. You give me my money for the wall. Then he's got the Democrats in a fucking position. Which is a deal they could have had a year ago, by the way. That was on the table, too. But as soon as Trump said 3 years, you had Ann Coulter calling amnesty and shit. So, you know, and Trump had Trump responds to Coulter. People got to realize, Ann Coulter's an idiot. Rush Limbaugh's an idiot. All these people, they're fucking entertainers.
Yeah.
Trump is the president. Pelosi's in charge of the Congress. McConnell's in charge of the Senate. Those are the people we elected. Nobody elected Ann Coulter or Rachel Maddow or Rush Limbaugh. So who the fuck cares what they say?
Really? At least they're addressing this situation and not just saying, no, no deal, no deal. You know, they should go in and, you
know. There was a deal that Trump was going to sign until Ann got mouthy and Rush got mouthy. He was going to sign it. They were going to fund the government through February until February, and they were going to keep on working on it. And if you look at the positions between the Democrats and the Republicans, especially what Trump's latest position was, they're not far apart at all.
Right.
They
it
could
do it.
Could
have been done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll be done.
Yeah, it will be done, but people are getting hurt in the meantime. This whole thing is fucking stupid. And you hear the FBI saying we're less safe because of it. The TSA is saying we're less safe. The pilots are saying we're less safe. They're not. And here's the crazy thing. First of all, the Coast Guard, you know, isn't able to. But you know how they have E-Verify. You know what E-Verify is? E-Verify is if you want to hire somebody, you go to E-Verify, which is a government website, which sees if they're here legally. That shit's been shut down the whole time. So you can't even fucking check if somebody's here legally if you want to hire them now because it's stupid. It's not thought out as usual.
Well, you know, I mean, we've been having, you know, a federal case about taking tweezers away from grannies before they get on a plane. And now we have record call-in sick days from TSA workers. Besides whoever is or isn't on the job, we're in trouble.
And point of fact, the shutdown started when the Republicans still controlled both houses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had 2 years. If this was so important, they could have done it in the 2 years when the Democrats didn't have shit.
But you want to know something? Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are just as guilty. They don't want to negotiate.
But they could have been
they
irrelevant.
They don't like Trump. They don't, you know, and
why didn't they do in the first 2 years? If it was so important, if there was such a crisis, why didn't he do in the first 2 years when the Democrats didn't have shit? Because you got to remember, a couple months ago, there was a referendum. There was a blue wave, and Donald Trump said, this is about me. He's the one who said it, put it out there. I'm on the ballot. So people made it about him, and the people spoke. So he's got to deal with Pelosi. He didn't have to deal with Pelosi if he just would have worked with his Republicans. They could have gotten the – but they didn't want to get it done. They took a poll in 2017. 25% of the Republican Congress wanted to pay for a border wall in 2017. So he didn't have the votes now. This is all just made up bullshit with people being held hostage. Everybody that's fucking rational wants secure borders. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that's rational doesn't want open borders. Nancy Pelosi said it. What'd she say about the wall? It's not. It's like, I don't know, inhumane.
But
something.
All they had to do is just sit and sit and discuss it and get it done.
Yes, they do. But Mitch McConnell hasn't wanted to participate. That's another problem. He wants to stay in his turtle shell and stay home.
Yeah, where the hell's he been?
I mean, he's kind of a big fucking deal. He's, you know, he hasn't wanted to negotiate. Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump are fucking taking juvenile swipes at each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a shit show.
Yeah.
But it didn't have to be this way.
Yeah, this ridiculous tit for tat. Well, you're not going to be able to get on my plane. Well, you're not going to be able to talk in my
house.
Oh,
that was funny. I'm going to let you. Are you stupid?
They're in their 70s, these two.
I know.
You know how they should settle it? Trump and Pelosi should get together and play a fucking game of beer pong. Winner take all. That's what they should fucking do.
Yeah, but it's all well and good for them to be playing these games when you have families that are depending on these paychecks. All these federal workers.
We're all at risk.
Yeah.
We're all insane.
They're the ones who are supposed to keep us safe. They're not at work, or they're working for free.
Coast Guard's working for free. FBI.
That's
back
horseshit.
It's just.
That
it's
is just horseshit.
It's so fucking the Border Patrol. A lot of those people are working for free now. I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about can I feed my family or pay my mortgage, my mind might not be as focused on my job as it should be.
And you know what is the worst worker? A disgruntled worker.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
I mean, I only so many paychecks are before a lot of us are out on the street.
And just remember, Joe. The Republicans, when McConnell controlled everything, they took a vote, and it was unanimous that they would fund the government. Pelosi has passed Republican bills that would fund certain parts of the government piece by piece. Mm-hmm. So both houses have fucking agreed. It's the president that's digging in. They could fund the government. The Republicans think he should fund the government. The Democrats.
Because what's going to happen is if they fund the government, that these talks are going to be dragging on and on and on.
He's a great negotiator.
And he is. And this is what he's doing. He's holding everything.
It's not a negotiation.
Yeah, he is a negotiation because basically he's bringing them to the table. Okay?
Nobody's talking. They're not at the table.
But the thing is, it's mostly on the Democrat side.
I just told you McConnell hasn't even participated.
But but how about Pelosi? And all Pelosi and Schumer have to do is sit down with the president, go over the bullet
points.
The
last time they sat down with the president, by all reports, the president got up, stormed
because
out.
Because he said, I want to get this wall. She said, no dice. Well, then we're done here.
Okay, well, that's what happened. That's not really negotiating.
No,
it's
not. You know what? We're done here. There's nothing to talk about.
Because she said, we're not going to talk until we open the government.
And the thing about it is, if you open up the government, it's going to drag on and on and on and on and on.
By your job.
If I took a government job and I knew that was a ramification, that would be part of the deal. That's what you take that job knowing that a shutdown of the government could be part of the deal. Sorry. Sorry.
When people got to pay for sick kids, they're not thinking.
Sorry. The doom and gloom thing. You know what? Sorry. I'd rather have my border secured and get this thing hammered out. And they're going to drag their feet. He can wait them out.
No, but I think that is a realistic point. How many paychecks would it take before you were out of your house?
Hey, you want to know something? I could get laid off tomorrow. How, you know, is anybody going to care about me? You know, I'm telling you right now, this is if they open up the government, this is going to drag on and nothing's going to get done. He is forcing them to come to the table and get this done. And that's the end of the story.
By all polls, most of the people hold him personally responsible for it, and he said he would own the shutdown.
Okay. Fine.
So it's going to be to his political detriment, and you're not going to be happy about that. He's hurting a lot of Trump supporters.
To tell you the truth, there's a lot of the Democrat support. They're hurting a lot of Democrat supporters too.
You got to remember, we saw ad nauseum the video go, I'll gladly shut down the government and own it. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do it.
But you know what? He's going point by point on what he ran on. Now, I understand.
No.
Stop
okay.
it. Stop it. All right. I get it. Mexico will pay for the wall. Okay.
He ran on.
All right. Okay. Fine. But
we argued about that.
We do need the border security on that. We do need to address the border security
sure.
on this. Okay. And basically with the tariffs, some of that money will be coming back. Also,
what happens is we get the money. Well, actually, no. Actually, tariffs, we actually pay for it. Citizens like you and I when we want to get shit.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever money is collected, the Congress decides where the money goes. So Trump can't get around that. Trump can't, like, say, oh, I want it for the wall. There's a fucking step in there that he's going to have to deal with for the next 2 years.
There's a budget. Money is allocated
exactly.
for specific
and
items.
Like I said, over a year ago, they could have had
25 But how much money do you think would be coming into the government? How many people do you think is going to take to build that? Or do that. How many people do you think? And they're all going to be working. And those people are all going to be paying taxes. And that some of that money is going to be coming back in.
Well, I don't know. Right now, all I know is that the $12 billion that the farmers were supposed to get, that we were paying in our tax money for the thing with China, the fucking trade war, mm-hmm. that we had to give to our farmers, they're not getting that either. So they're getting double fucked. And a lot of those farmers are Trump supporters.
But we had to address the China issue. China has been a very big issue. They're taking our intellectual property.
Yes.
I have somebody that works for, I'm probably not getting paid either, but somebody that works for customs. And she was telling me that we are getting fucked beyond belief by China. And somebody has finally taken an initiative to address China head on
sure.
instead of blowing it off.
Absolutely. But you cannot have your citizens foot the bill for this. I agree Trump is right to call China on their shit. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's right. You know, I think others tried, maybe not as forcefully. I think Trump is trying to do it, but you can't be fucking subsidizing shit and then say you don't like government handouts. That's the problem. Because now we're handing out shit to the farmers, and they don't want that. The farmers used to get $16 a bushel
for soy, and now
they're getting $8. So, mm-hmm. so, and a lot of them are Trump supporters. That's what I'm telling you.
But because we're working on ironing this out and getting a deal, so in the future they will get a fair shake.
Right, I'm going to say one point on that, and then we're going to move on. If you wanted to hold China accountable, which we all agree, I think that you should.
Yes.
There was a deal called TPP. The Trans-Pacific. Anyway, it was all the Pacific Rim countries: Japan, South Korea. It was the United States and all those countries. So, what we could have done, if Trump would have gone to all those countries, go, listen, we're getting screwed by China. You're getting screwed by China. You're getting screwed by China. We're going to hold them to the fire because we're all in this together. Together, we're stronger economically than any of us are by themselves.
Right.
We're going to get them for this. Could have done that. He broke up the TPP. He hasn't come up with anything else. And now those countries are doing deals with China to our detriment. So, I mean, I know it was an Obama thing, but some of the Obama shit actually worked out. You could have used it and improved it instead mm-hmm. of just blowing the shit up. He could have run on the same shit, been his hard ass on the same shit, but used tools that were given to him. Instead of blowing shit up and put it on the backs of
maybe farmers. The worry is that those countries wouldn't have the balls to stand up to China even if he were aligned with us.
No, it was part of the agreement. That was the whole purpose of it, to make us all fucking stronger. If you got the United States, the most powerful economy, saying, listen, we got your back, but no, you guys can't, but you with China, we'll fucking take care of it. You're going to buy our soy. We'll help you with the electricity, the solar. We're going to give you a fucking deal, this, that, the other. We're all going to stand together, so China has to come to the table and talk. It's a lot more power. Now, China's cutting deals all on their own, and we're on the outside looking in.
That's fine, but China needs, you know, we have a big, very big, we do a lot of exporting with China, importing
sure.
with China. China needs us. I mean, I know.
We need each other.
Yeah.
We need
so, you know, and like
listen,
I said.
Listen, Trump was right to say enough's enough. I'm not arguing that. You just can't have it on the back of American citizens.
Hey, sometimes, you know, hey, it's a war. Sometimes the citizens has
Trump
to go through
suffer?
A war.
When does Trump feel pain? Because as of recall, he's never actually felt pain in any war because he's had bone spurs. So when does Trump start to fucking suffer from these wars? I'm tired of everybody else suffering for wars and Trump's wars, but Trump.
Because he's working out these deals to try to end this. What is he supposed to do? Go on a story? He's working for free. He's not getting a salary. He's doing this
he's
out of his own
making money off his hotels.
Okay, but still, it's something that had to be addressed. No other presidents were willing to really address it the way he's addressing it.
Well, they put together TPP, which was a way, which was a tool to address it.
It's yeah, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
But still, the Trans-Pacific Partnership didn't do shit because still our intellectual property was being taken. The deals, China was.
But farmers could sell their shit without us having to pay for it.
Okay, here's the deal. Okay. One of the lines that we sell is pipe. You know, the pipe that we call
PVC.
PVC, cast iron pipe primarily. China was subsidizing their mills and were dumping their pipe here, and it was having a problem. There was two manufacturers in this business, Tyler and Charlotte. Charlotte's the line we rep. Tyler's our competition. But anyway, Tyler and Charlotte were having a hell of a time because China was being subsidizing their mills and were dumping their pipe here.
Joe, okay? Here's what you're missing. Nobody's disagreeing.
No, stop. Let me finish, okay? The Trump administration finally stepped in and said, this ends, and we're not going to be bringing in your pipe, or we're going to bring in at a high tariff. Because of that, both Tyler and Charlotte are running 24 hours a day because now and employing a lot more people and running like the hammers of hell because that the Trump administration stepped in and started to take an initiative to go against China. Now, this is just one industry. They're doing it in a lot of other industries, too. And it's about to. Yeah, there's going to be a tough time with this. But sometimes when there is a tough situation, you have to bite the bullet and get it resolved.
I just find it's very easy for you to say when you're never biting the bullet. That's my problem. That's my problem.
When I worked in a seasonal business and I got laid off during the winter, did anybody give a damn about me? I took that job knowing that there could be a point where I would go on unemployment and have to stay there during the slow season.
Yeah,
if you work for the government.
But people do care because when you're concerned about a comedy club, you might lose employment at a comedy club. Your friend, who has fucking empathy, finds out and gets you back in. So people do care. Yeah, you deal with assholes. But you also deal with people in your life that are concerned about you, that do have fucking empathy. So it's not just like everybody's always trying to fuck you and nobody cares. There are people in your life that care. So what I'm saying is it's good to have empathy for other people, even if you're personally not hurt by it. That's all I'm saying.
I have empathy. Look, I'm not an unempathetic person, okay? But in the reality, there's some realities that certain things have to go on before a major thing can get done. And a lot of presidents have shied away from that because they didn't want to take the hit. We're finally addressing issues that have been a problem and that haven't been addressed in years. And he's going right down the list to get things done.
And like I said, that's fine. But don't blow up the fucking biggest tool you had in your arsenal. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And that was the TPP was the biggest tool he had. He could have gotten a lot more shit done with this. And like I said, you can't talk about takers like the Republicans like to do when now we have to hand out money to the farmers, our tax money. By the way, $12 billion, which could have gone for a big fucking beautiful wall, you know, if you want to talk about money and everything. There's problems with this approach. That's all I'm saying. Let's move on because there is a positive effect of the shutdown.
There is?
Yes. The Pornhub has reported a spike in traffic.
What else can you got to do during a day?
Exactly.
Did you say a big spike?
I most certainly did. Coinciding with the same time.
When the going's hard, pull your rod.
That you can make a slogan for. Mm. Some federal workers have stayed home from work. The site's insights team analyzed data from January 7th to January 11th and found that not only has Pornhub seen an almost 6% increase in visitors, it has also seen a distinct shift in the hours during which people are watching porn. The porn viewing site's traffic pre-shutdown was usually at its peak from 10 p.m. to midnight. But post-shutdown, late-night traffic increased up to 14% above average, while early morning traffic from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. has had the smallest change. Sure, you can stay up late and jerk it. Don't gotta wake up and wait out for that pesky job in the morning.
Yeah, really.
In Washington, D.C. alone, where a lot of federal workers are, Pornhub claims its hourly traffic has increased an average of 6.32%, with female traffic in particular increasing 12.3%.
Also noted, battery sales have gone up as well.
So I'm concerned that I'm concerned for our workers when they come back, you know, to do their jobs. Their hands might not be able to stretch, you know. They might have cramps and everything.
I know. There's going to be a big increase in carpal tunnel as well.
So there's that.
Well, you know, how do they, wait, so to use this, do you have to say whether you're a male or female?
No, I don't know how they do, but I guess
how they know they're
I guess
women.
They can check the IP address and who's there, I guess. I don't know. I was wondering that too. Yeah, I'm fucking watching you.
It's like
go on, girl, get yours.
Yeah, it's like, don't you try to guess who I am looking at this stuff. I could be anybody looking at
I'm
this stuff.
I'm just talking. I'm still a man.
Yeah, right.
I mean, wow.
Well, yeah, so at least Pornhub's doing well.
Yeah, and the rest of us are feeling bad for them being out of work, so we are placating ourselves.
I'm going to give them a little empathy jerk after the show.
Yes, that's right.
A little solidarity with the government workers. you know, a lot of people are giving them food and everything. I am going to find out how to give them lotion and batteries.
We have an expert in the field. I was wondering how Chiz Sock feels about this. Chizzy, how do you feel?
I'm a little raw. Joe has no empathy for me either. I feel like he's even in a better mood. Loads and loads of Joe joy.
Loads and loads.
I've never seen him so happy.
Thank you, Chizsock.
Up to the date reporting.
Your thoughts were valuable.
The conversation. I had to think which fucking voice was Chizsock.
I know.
I was going through my Rolodex of two.
I'm like a threat. Act, stupid, act.
I'm going through my Rolodex of two. Thumb through it a couple of times. Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Step that's out. The one. Wait. Is it
Usually I set up. Usually I set up you for a voice. I wasn't expecting that.
Shit. You look like, what?
What?
He's thrown at me? What?
That's not how the show usually works. See, that? Somebody's on script. Alert! but we bailed it out.
Danger, just
Sock. Always the trooper sucked it up and went forward.
You know, it's funny. On stage, he's brilliant with, you know,
thank
right
you.
Off the top of his head.
Yeah,
and brilliant.
Yeah.
On the show.
No, I got there.
You
moseyed to it, yeah.
That was great.
I'm expecting that. It's like a woman stands up. My water broke. All right, I'll get there. I'll make a crack.
Spit water. Speaking of, I'm going to spit all over
his
your fucking equipment.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I'll get
back
there, but I just need a chance to recalibrate.
All right.
And we're back to the Pornhub.
Hysterical.
We got there. You got your little fucking impression. It's been a while. I should have had him clear resort. I like how I look, act out the fucking stupid hand too.
I know, you're a pro.
I got to get me a little sock for when that's called on.
There you go.
I know. Hold on. Where's my jizz sock?
All right. So we'll do some School of Fools.
Finger on the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, we all fall down.
Shame.
School of Fools.
Okay, so I didn't think this would be. I didn't think we were going to argue up until this point, but since I guess we'll continue arguing, maybe. Vice President Mike Pence defended Second Lady Karen Pence's. Second Lady sounds so fucking demeaning.
It does.
Yeah, you're a Second Lady.
I know.
Second Lady.
It's like,
I wouldn't even rank her that high.
Second Lady.
If we're going by twos, that's what I'm saying.
She's not even three times a lady, she's just twice.
No. Mike Pence defended Second Lady Karen Pence's decision to take a teaching job at a school that discriminates against LGBTQ individuals and families, suggesting that the uproar over it is an attack on Christianity. During an interview with the Catholicism-focused Eternal World Television Network on Thursday, Pence said that the attacks on the Emmanuel Christian School, which bans LGBTQ. You know, they never have. We got it. You're gay. Why do you got to fucking throw queer in there? We're not fucking stupid. Like, LGBT wasn't enough?
No.
It was.
It wasn't, though.
It's fucking gay and queer. Nobody gets them confused. We know. LGBTQ employees, students, and families were offensive to his family. To see major news organizations attacking Christian education is deeply offensive to us. We'll let the critics roll off our backs, the vice president continued, but this criticism of Christian education should stop. The interview comes just 2 days after the Huffington Post broke the news that Karen Pence accepted a job at the Emanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia. The school refuses to admit any students who participate in or condone homosexual or bisexual activity and included in its 2018 employment application a requirement that applicants pledge not to participate in or condone homosexual activity or violate the unique rules roles of male and female. No dress up for you kids.
the unique roles? Wait a minute. No violating? Oh.
No, on one hole.
They're no fun.
You can violate in one hole.
Just one.
In one hole. The employment application also says the school believes in a definition of marriage that strictly includes one man and one woman. Woman! And notes, I've had enough, and notes that a wife is commanded to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. In its parent agreement, the school reserves the right to expel a student if they, their parents, or someone in their household engages in homosexual or bisexual activity or supports or condones that behavior. Virginia is one of dozens of states that does not prohibit employment discrimination on the basis of sexual and gender identity. Mike Pence on Thursday said that the religious schools like Emanuel Christian School were part of American tradition and are protected by the constitutional right of freedom of religion. We have a rich tradition in America of Christian education and, frankly, religious education broadly defined, he said. We celebrate it. The freedom of religion is enshrined in the Constitution. Others see Pence's decision to teach at Emanuel Christian School, which includes students from kindergarten to eighth grade, as an endorsement of discrimination against the LGBT community. It's disturbing Second Lady Karen Pence will put her stamp of approval on an institution that actively targets LGBTQ students at one of the places where they should feel the safest, Sarah Kate Ellis, president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, said in a statement. Ellis knows that many young students coming to terms with their gender identity turn to the arts as a safe haven. As an art teacher, I suspect Pence is aware of that. A spokeswoman for the Second Lady said that Pence was previously employed by the school for 12 years while her husband Mike Pence was in Congress. It's absurd that her decision to teach art to children at a Christian school and the school's religious beliefs are under attack, said Kara Brooks, the spokeswoman. In a statement to USA Today, the Second Lady said she was excited to be back in the classroom and doing what I love to do. I have missed teaching art. So does Pence have a point? This is an attack on Christian education?
Yeah, it is. She's got a right to work where she wants. And why is a small portion of the population dictating where she works? It's a freedom of religion thing. She worked at this school. She got an offer to go back. This is what, you know, this is the rules. And it's a Christian school. This is Christian standards. So, you know, that's.
But they are a little extreme when they go, somebody in your house can't condone. It's a little bit, you know, it's one thing to make the students and the teachers, the staff take a pledge if you want to go that far. When you start talking about, they can't, like if you know somebody who's gay, if you're friends with somebody who's gay, they can find out and expel you or fire you. That's a bit much. That's extreme.
If somebody's in your family is gay.
That's not what it says. Even if it is somebody in your family, if your fucking cousin is gay, what, you can't love them and go to the school? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a little bit of an overreach, no?
It is in a public forum, but this is a private school. This is a private school. If that's what their beliefs are and that's the private school, then that's how
it is. What happens if you believe no Jews, no black people?
Then don't go to the school.
But the Constitution, has the Supreme Court's already ruled you can't do that.
You can't do that in a private school?
No, you can't. No, you can't discriminate like that. There've been Jews that have gone to Catholic schools.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that. But I'm just saying that...
No, you can't discriminate. That's what the Constitution... That's how it's been interpreted. So it would be interesting to see if this particular thing were to come up. But here's the problem. So say you want to have those rules. All right. The problem is when it's the second most... not powerful. When it's the vice president's wife, when it's the vice president, and you're representing all Americans. Even Americans that you wouldn't necessarily want to hang out with. Appreciate their lifestyle, even though it's not something you want because of your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You're still in a you're in a very prominent position. So even if that lifestyle is not something you want, it condones discriminating and being mean to fellow Americans.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So
it also is being loyal to religious beliefs.
But you can be loyal.
Which is a freedom of a religion.
But you can be loyal to your religious beliefs in that position without discriminating. Like, you can go to another school and have everybody else know that you don't condone homosexuality, but you're not going to actively continue that. Just listen, according to my religion, I don't condone homosexuality, but I'm not going to go in a place that promotes a discrimination against homosexuality. That's how I'm living my life. That's my relationship between my Lord and Savior, but I'm not going to push my views to that degree on anybody else.
Clearly, this isn't a problem for her like that, though.
Well, she's not pushing her views. She's just going to work to teach art. You know, she's not, you know.
No, but when you go as far as condoning and anybody in your life, but you know, if anybody in your life condones or participates in homosexual, bisexual, you've gone more than, hey, this isn't right for me. You've gone more to, we're going to make sure you all believe the way we do.
You know what? I'm having a hard time figuring out what one would do in this case because, well, first of all, I mean, if it's a private school and they receive absolutely no public funds, I'm kind of hard pressed to say they should have the right to their own religious views and expressing them the way they want. Do I think it's gross, grotesque, the way that they're taking this to the nth degree and saying, not only do I not think that this is right, but I want to make sure that everybody that you know, everybody in your household, isn't doing something that we don't agree with? That's disgusting. But if you want to send your kids to the school and you agree and sign up with that.
But again, as a private citizen, that's one thing. She's representing all of us.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible look.
And you could say, well, she wasn't elected, but her husband was.
It's a terrible look.
So they say a wife is commanded to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. Mm-hmm. Nobody bats an eyelash to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Would this garner outrage from a different people if it read, a wife is commanded to submit to her husband as Muslims submit to Allah? I have a feeling we'd be hearing a lot of shit from right-wingers with that.
So I'm
going to say it's not really about religious freedom, and I'm going to go further.
If she went, if that was the case and she went to work with, went to a school like that, how would you feel?
I don't really have a problem with that. If that's your religion, I personally. Oh, either way, I don't.
So it's the same. Case with this.
No, what I'm saying, like, I don't have a problem if you want to submit to your husband and that's what's written because that's what your religion believes. I'm not the one who has that problem.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the people who don't have a problem, Christians that don't have a problem with that, would be fucking going madrasa. The Muslims are coming. Sharia law. If that came out,
that's the school that she was working at.
Exactly.
Of course. Sure.
They would lose their heads.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's still the same thing, though. You know that's
and also, I don't buy this religious freedom thing because Donald Trump, our president, our commander-in-chief, came out with an unsubstantiated report that they found prayer rugs by the border. Okay. First of all, nobody found fucking prayer rugs. Second of all, though, if your vice president's going on and on about religious freedoms and the traditions of America, that shouldn't even fucking make a difference.
Right.
Why are you even saying anything? So I'm calling bullshit on their love of religious freedom. I'm calling once again, well, no, this is appropriate for me because it's my religion. Because they don't feel that way about everybody.
Oh, no. It's not across the board. It's like, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, I want mine, but
right.
I don't approve of yours, so you can't have yours.
Exactly.
If this was in a public school setting and they were trying to say, you know, well, we don't agree with this and you have to abide by these standards in your own home too, it'd be like, fuck you. But it's a private institution and they want to be able to, you know, express their own religion amongst themselves. So, you know, if it's like a religious school setting,
it's a private institution.
Yeah,
I mean, that's for the Supreme Court to hash out.
I don't see that we have the right to like point our fingers at it.
But I do think it's a bad look when you have politicians or spouses of prominent politicians that, in a place that is so divisive.
She's the second lady. Who cares?
You would have said the same thing if it was Melania.
Yeah, let her draw a picture. Who cares? I would have said the same thing if it was Michelle Obama. Let her go draw a fucking picture. Probably to a lesbian couple with a little cross against it. You know? Probably a little lesbian couple with a cross against it.
Like a strike through.
I drew this today.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, honey.
Who cares?
I mean, mommy or mother.
I don't know. I think it's a bad look.
Oh yeah, no, it offends me, but I'm not a member of their religion, and I don't want them telling me what religious beliefs I can and cannot have either.
Because it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I don't want anybody telling me that, you know, my religious beliefs, whatever they might be, are wrong either.
But they are.
Clearly, but you don't get to dictate that to me.
I do.
Yeah, you do. Yes, I do know.
You guys all signed that agreement, that documentation, where if you're going to become on Davins, then I get to dictate your religious beliefs.
And so many other things.
I'm sorry, I forgot my yarmulke.
You're not sorry. No. You're doing it to antagonize.
The small print in that document was really telling.
Yeah, right.
All right. We're going to take our break. We'll come back with some Ann Jackson on the break. New music from Raphael Maurer and Luca P with Friday, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And new music from Joe's band.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fragile Sky called Sing Sing Stalker. Later on in the show, Joe will tell you where you can see them playing out this weekend. Is there an album? Will we be getting an album?
It's going to be actually four songs that we did. It's going to be going on a USB download. We're going to be selling at shows. Also, we're on Reverb Nation. We're number three band on Reverb Nation.
The whole band.
Awesome. Yeah, number three band on Reverb Nation. This song is really...
I like how he says the whole band, like the keyboardist doesn't always get included.
No, the song is... You'll like this song. It's really, really good. I mean, this project is really good on the music, the mixes. Everything came out really good. Mike Messina did a great job with this.
Just got into the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah. And it's really a good project because Mike and I have always thought musically and we always wanted to work together. So it's nice that we finally got in the studio and we did in the song. We got Joe Melendez, who is not only an actor but a phenomenal singer. And the whole my drummer and my bass player, very, very good. I'm very, very proud of this project.
Awesome.
Really, so yeah. I will leave Sing Sing Stalker on the podcast. So that will be the first thing you hear on part three.
Nice.
When we'll come back to break. So enjoy both songs. We'll be back in a few minutes with some Ann Jackson.